Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. I'm Dr. Youngblood, and I'm looking forward to this next half hour with you, our listener. The number to call if you want to join in the dialogue and the discussion is 904-401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Be delighted to talk with you about the subject that is on your heart, the subject that's on your mind, or the question that you would like to ask. I am thankful that we have a source to go to when we're seeking answers to our most serious questions. The Bible is the truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in John 17:17. And Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. May I remind us that we seek answers. We're looking for the truth. We're looking for wisdom. Multitudes are doing so today. I heard someone a number of years ago said they've been looking for the right things in the wrong places for many years. And may I remind us that oftentimes that is the scenario. We're looking for answers by way of psychologists and psychiatrists and counselors, when the greatest counselor we can go to is the counselor, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is His Word. His Word should be the final arbiter, the final settling point for any question, or any comment, any dialogue or discussion or debate that we have. We're faced with many issues today. In fact, in all my, as I usually like to say, less than 100 years now, in all of those years, I don't think that I have seen or witnessed anything quite like we're faced with today. You're faced with the same thing. We're all faced with the same scenario in our nation. It seemed like all of the ends are coming loose at the same time. We have major destruction of our Constitution coming out of the White House, the Barack Hussein Obama administration. We have a sense that there is no such thing as God. We're living in a society where we are saying no God, no guns, no morals, no controls, no self-control. We simply want to do as the scripture talks about in the days of Judges, every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. You can call and have dialogue and discussion with your questions at 904-401-1413. Today there are several things that we'll talk about, unless you are subject to your call with your change of direction with the question and our comment. But we're watching the what I call the socialists and the liberals in Washington, pushing a gun control bill. It's being debated and pushed in the Senate, but the Senate needs to wake up and recognize that if they pass it, it's still got to go through the House. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to you, it will be the shock of all shocks if the House passes any type gun control bill. I understand that the bureaucrats and the liberals and the left-wingers and the socialists in our government today, listening to the mantra coming out of the United Nations saying that America needs to ban all guns, and there's an attempt to creep in and infringe on our Second Amendment right. By the way, let me reiterate the fact that in my book, the doctrine of self-defense, I outlined very concisely and very clearly and verbosely that our Second Amendment right is given to us by God through the Word of God, codified in the Scripture, codified in our Constitution, confirmed by our U.S. Supreme Court, to be carried out by its citizens. And it's the only one of our amendments that is not to be infringed upon, is our Second Amendment right. In fact, Thomas Jefferson said, the strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against the tyranny in government. And if there's anything that we need to recognize today, we have tyranny in government because of a tyrannical leader in the White House. I don't mind telling anyone, we need to pray for our leadership. We need to pray that God will intervene and free us of this empirical form of government that we have devolved to in our nation. Obama, by the way, just made a decision, in my opinion, to select Islam over America. Under the directive from the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, the FBI has just been told, and they have just released the redacted transcript of the Orlando jihadist Islamic terrorist Omar Mateen. His admission was that he was carrying out that in honor of ISIS and in concert with ISIS. And therefore, he identified himself as an Islamic terrorist. But yet the FBI now, under the direction out of the White House to the Loretta Lynch's office, says we need to leave that out. So therefore, it's a redacted 911 call, redacted statement from this jihadist terrorist that slaughtered 49 people in Orlando. I believe we have someone on the line. What is your question, please?
Just for a moment, to speak about Israel and the scriptures which pertain to the people of Israel. And my question was, are the modern-day Judaism, is that Israel, or is that an imposture playing the part of Israel?
Thank you for your question. I've never heard the term an imposter playing the part of Israel. Israel is the nation. Israel became a nation May the 15th, 1948. It's God's chosen people. The scripture says the Jew, Israel, is the apple of God's eye. The scripture is very, very clear that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we need to look at Israel as being God's masterpiece, God's elect in the Old Testament. And when we see what's happening on a national basis, there's a move to displace Israel with what is called the Palestinians. No such thing as ethnic Palestinians at all.
Well, the reason I'm asking the question is because the people or the descendants of Jacob Israel, there are a lot of different divisions in Judaism with different peoples of different races claiming to be Israel. And the modern-day I just don't see any Old Testament scriptures referring to Israel anywhere in the Old Testament as being, quote, J-E-W's anywhere. And
well,
would you enumerate on that for me? Because I know that a lot of Christianity has been subverted by these Judaizers that promote all kinds of nonsense. And what I'm saying is, Israel is a people, right? Is Israel a people, or is it a...
Israel is both a people and a land. There's no such thing, by the way, and I know what you're alluding to. There's no such thing as spiritual Israel. There are a lot of ignorant, unlearned, anemic theologians, so-called scholars, pastors, and preachers and teachers that claim that the church is spiritual Israel. There's not one place in the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation that will validate that at all. Some try to go to the text. Some try to go to the text in Galatians 3 and Galatians 6 and say, wow, that's talking about spiritual Israel. It's the church. That is, I always use the term, there's a good theological Greek word for that. It's called hogwash. No such thing. Israel is both a people and a land. God gave the land to the Jewish people. It shall always be theirs. And yet we've had administration after administration trying to go with the two-state solution to rob Israel of the land that God has given them. And I pray that every Christian listening will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, will stand with Benjamin Netanyahu and the job that he's attempting to do to protect the nation of Israel as Obama tries to unthread the needle and tries to put Israel on the horns of dilemma on an international front. It is my prayer that one morning we'll wake up and see the news and hear the news that Israel has done a preemptive strike on Iran and cleaned their clock. So let me just simply suffice it to say that Israel, the Jewish people, is talked about in the scripture as a land and as a people. There's no such thing, by the way, as Palestinians. They're Arabs, and today it's the Arab people that's trying to claim an ethnic terminology of Palestinians to take the land. But I do appreciate your call.
Can I ask one question, sir?
Yes.
If the modern-day Jews are Israel, then what is the white Western man? When I say white Western man, I'm talking about the only people where all the blessings were fulfilled and becoming many nations, that he casts us off. In the old days, we would forget our identity, and it's, so you're saying that sandbox over there is Israel, but the people as far as the sperm are the descendants of Jacob Israel are, the white folks are just like the children of the devil, like the Jews teach? Is that what you're saying? Because that's what they teach,
You've got a convoluted understanding of what the Word of God says. You can't listen to what somebody says, what some church may say, or some ideology may say. It's what the Word of God says.
I don't. Now, what is the Father's name, sir?
Say again?
What is our Father in heaven's name, the Father of our Master, Jesus the Christ? What is his name, the Father?
Jesus Christ is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. According to Colossians 2:9, Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is all Jesus. We don't serve three gods. It's Jesus Christ. He is God incarnate, God come in the flesh.
What is the Father's name, sir?
God.
It's Yahweh.
Yes.
Why don't Christians know this?
Say again?
Why do not Christians know the name of our Father in heaven?
I don't know what your point is.
They took his name out of the scriptures over 6,800 times, and now they're claiming that they're Israel and they're liars in Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. Have you read that, sir?
I'm totally familiar with the scripture, and I'm familiar with the diatribe that you're trying to espouse, and it's incorrect. It's incorrect biblically. But I appreciate your call. We'll take our next call if someone is there. Thank you for calling. Some people just have a mixed up theological concern, and most of those concerns are derived from those that try to make the church Israel, the spiritual Israel. Secondly, it's those that want to get caught up and involved in what is the name of God rather than looking at it of knowing God personally through the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to this gentleman and to anyone else listening, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, and you study the scripture by illumination of the Holy Spirit of God, you won't get caught up in this diatribe and the debate that you just heard in relationship to his concerns, which are illegitimate concerns based on the Word of God. But what we're talking about today is looking at what the Scripture says and understanding that God would have us to be salt and light in the society in which we live in. We live in a day when there's chaos and confusion. By the way, if you want to follow up with any other questions or comments on anything that concerns you and or what we're talking about, it's 904-401-1413. I'll entertain even the most ludicrous communication and conversation for only so long. We want to depend on what the Word of God says and not what some ideology or some off-the-wall theological terminology may be and thought. But what we're saying today is dealing with what is taking place in our nation. We have the Obama administration that's now trying to take sides with Islam over America, and as a result of that, whitewashing and doing a deleting of and redacting the statement that was made by the Islamic jihadists that killed 49 people in Orlando. Remember, God's word says in Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. It is the responsibility of every child of God to cry aloud. And from the Jerusalem Bible, that translation says, cry with an open throat. That is so that everybody can hear that we're pointing out the fact that there is a difficulty and a problem in our nation. And as Christians, we need to be salt and light in pointing it out. Every believer must reject the Obama's administration's attempt to destroy our nation. And I say we need to vote a lot of leaders out that are presently in. That's in both sides of the aisle. We have a lot of Republicans that are supposed to be conservatives that's trying to destroy our nation. In fact, it surprises me that so many of our Republicans in the House and in the Senate, all of a sudden they want to follow the Obama edict and try to do something to control and to ban weapons. That's the only defense that we have in America today against a tyrannical government that we see raising its head up to overthrow our Constitution. Secondly, it is the responsibility of Christians to stand on a local level, by the way. If you're listening and you're local, you're in Duval County, you need to call every school board member. You need to demand that the school board members, the school board leaders of Duval County School Board, fire Dr. Vitti. Dr. Vitti has taken open face with the edict from Washington about the open bathrooms. And with the open bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower rooms where our children, our grandchildren, the little girls in their showers and the bathrooms, when it should be a private time, now being exposed to the perverts and the pedophiles and the transsexuals and whatever else that may be out there that wants to go in and be a peeping Tom. There's already been 26 or 28 cases now against Target. Where people have gone in to shop and to buy clothes and go into the dressing rooms or the bathrooms and as such be put in harm's way because of the ridiculous, ludicrous open bathroom and open dressing room philosophy and regulation that Target has. By the way, Target's already lost about $1.3 billion in stock. $1.3 billion as a result of the boycott that started back in March. And it's my encouragement to everyone listening, boycott. Don't spend God's money in God's children's pockets in a place called Target. There are other places that you can spend your dollars and invest them wisely in the expenditures that you have for your home rather than put it in the pockets and the purses of Target where they're not concerned about Christians or morals and ethics and values. We need to understand that we have the responsibility as stewards of God's word. We have the responsibility as moms and dads to protect our sons and daughters. And when it comes to the aspect of what's happening in our city, I'm appalled that our city council is thinking about, considering, and discussing and debating within the council and the subcommittees of council to open the Pandora's box in Duval County by way of putting slot machines. They're talking about over 2,000 slot machines being put in some gambling places that's already in existence in our city. We have been lied to enough about what the lotto and the gambling will do for the state of Florida. They said it would enhance education. Well, they just simply took the educational money out of the budget and allowed the slots money, the gambling money, and the things that come in as a result of that to displace it. It's not enhanced education. It's not increased the revenue for education at all. We seem to have a misplaced understanding of what we're supposed to do as leadership in our nation, in our state, and in our city. By the way, if you want to call in, you can call at 904-401-1413. And while I'm thinking about it, tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be dealing with the rapture of the church. If you're listening, you want to do some study and some preparation for your questions or your comments or joining in the dialogue and the discussion, you can do so tomorrow. We'll be dealing with the rapture of the church. Some of the questions that need to be asked is the rapture biblical? What is the scripture that validates that? Is it important? Who will be in the rapture? Will the Christian be caught up and removed from this old world? If so, when? If so, how? And what does the scripture say in relationship to it? By the way, we have multitudes of refugees still pouring across our borders. And the recent Southern Baptist Convention meeting, I was very interested in and yet appalled by what took place in the convention with that. Let me just read you a brief blurb from an article about it. Pastor to the Southern Baptist Convention says, stop pushing the Muslim refugee issue. The Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention is also supporting the building of a mosque in Bernard, New Jersey. The Islamic Society of Basking Ridge application for a new mosque was denied by the local planning board, and now the Ethics Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention has joined in on their behalf, insisting that the leadership in that little township allow the mosque to be built. Someone asked the question at the convention, what should the Southern Baptist Convention have done about the mosque in New Jersey? They should have stayed out of the situation altogether, one preacher said. They should have left the matter up to the voice of the local people and their elected and appointed officials. This is an interesting thought in this article about this. He said, I think the Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission would be hard-pressed to find anywhere in the scripture or anywhere where the early church was aligning itself with the government entities and some interfaith coalition to assist in the construction of more pagan temples, shrines, and altars to emperor worship in the Roman Empire in the name of religious liberty. That would not have even crossed their minds, and I'm in agreement with that. I'm saddened when I see any denomination in any religious order. But by the way, it should not surprise us, because there's a division of the Southern Baptist Convention, as well as the Lutheran group, and Roman Catholics, and Episcopalians, and the Presbyterian as denominational holds, that have accepted federal dollars through the Obama administration to house refugees coming into America. Therefore, most of these religious leaders will stand up and order their denominational meetings and encourage we as Christians and as churches and church members to open the door, open your heart. It's what God wants. Bring these refugees in. Let's embrace them, whether they're legal or not. That is simply unethical, unbiblical, ungodly, and unholy. When we understand what's taking place in America with the refugee issue and with them coming into our nation and understand what is taking place, it's not unusual to find an article, and I find articles almost every day, where something is taking place that is diametrically opposed to what we ought to look at as the moral ethical standard for America. Here's an article, for example, in an Idaho township, covers up rape of a little girl at knife point by a Syrian Muslim refugee. Three Syrian refugees reportedly raped a little girl at knife point in Idaho before urinating on her body, an incident that was purportedly be furious as infuriated the residents in Twin Falls City. And yet the council members tried to cover it up and did not want the people to know that it was an illegal refugee scenario that brought harm to the little girl. No different than what you find in Egypt, where little girls are forced to convert to Islam and then marry Muslims. Here's an article about Mary that is an 18-year-old that is in Egypt, and she was snatched from the streets, forced to convert to Islam, and then marry an older Muslim man against her will. We need to be very careful. The scripture says in Matthew 18:6, but whosoever shall offend, that, by the way, is the little Greek word scandalon, means to cause to stumble and fall. One of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. We don't have to wonder what God means when God's word talks about protecting the little ones. And yet we have decided that we're going to murder them in the womb. And now we've decided that we're going to destroy them when they're school age through the open bathroom bill, the open bathroom laws, and the expanded human rights ordinances that they're wanting to do and present to we, the citizens of Duval County. By the way, call your school board members. Call each one of them. Demand that they fire Dr. Vitti. Demand that they vote against the open bathroom edict that is now imposed on the citizens of Duval County. Called City Council, demand that they say no to the expansion of any gambling in our city. You see, most people are not aware of the fact that when the lotto and the slots are opened in a city, welfare rolls skyrocket because moms and dad will take the last dollar in their pocket to put in that slot machine or to buy that ticket, thinking that somehow, some way they're going to win. Takes bread off the table. It causes the welfare rolls to go up. It causes there to be major, major difficult and debilities in the families. It causes hardship on moms and dads. It causes a hardship on the other citizens because we're taking care of an increased load as a result of the family going in need because of spending money on the slots and the gambling. Call City Council and say no, no, no on any slots. By the way, while you're talking with them, make sure that Tommy Azuri understands that we say, no, Mr. Azuri, we do not want an expanded special rights for the homosexuals and the sodomites and the transvestites and the transsexuals in Duval County. Say to Tommy Azuri, that's the lead dog, if you will, the lead council member on trying to get that forced through City Council, tell him no. And tell every other city council member, if you vote for such an ordinance, if you vote to expand the human rights ordinance in Duval County, we will vote you out of office. We have, out of the 19 city council members, probably the weakest morally, ethically, biblically, spiritually, any city council that I've known since moving to Jacksonville in 1980. I say that we need to say no in relationship to what they're attempting to do with the slot machines and also with the planned expansion of the HRO. We need to be involved. We need to be active as citizens. Why do I say that? Because the Lord Jesus Christ himself commanded that we be salt and light. Salt is worthless in the salt shaker. Salt needs to get out of the shaker if we're going to be a preservative in the world. Light is worthless if it remains in a room with the door closed. We need to get out into the world, and as Christians, let our light so shine that others will see Jesus in us, and we do so by being salt and light as a preservative and illumination for the dark world in which we find ourselves in today. I pray that you have been a participant by listening, and it's my desire to see you participate by calling, getting involved in the dialogue and the discussion. The scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron. As we discuss these things together, it is an illumination, and it helps us as we strive to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it's not negative at all. When we see all of these things taking place, the scripture says, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Every day that we see these things taking place, it's closer and closer to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will take us out of this old world. I look forward to our discussion tomorrow as we discuss on the radio on open air, where you can call in and discuss it with me, the question of the rapture of the church. God bless you, and we'll meet again tomorrow on the air.
Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.